the opportunity to use not enough budget, not enough resources, not enough exposure as your excuse for not making something that's effective, that excuse is bullshit now. It's out the window.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Creator Secrets. It's already the fourth one. I know I should be uploading these a little bit more, but I just got swamped with work. So, well, let's just dive into this because today we got a special one. It's all about Casey Neistat. So let's go back a little bit into 2018, and that's actually where I met up with Casey along with a few other creators from Belgium. So there was this big event of a media company here in Belgium, and we got the opportunity to have like a meetup after his talk at the show. The moment I got that message, the moment I got that email, it was just crazy, like that I would be meeting one of my idols from the YouTube space. If you haven't checked out Casey Neistat by now, I think you lived under a rock. I think we can safely say that. But just being able to meet up with him and, yeah, hear his thoughts about some stuff that we all were thinking in a group, it was a little bit mind-blowing and probably gonna be a day in my life that I won't forget. Also, funny story, I almost missed Casey here at this event. Well, actually, I almost didn't get to the event in the first place. I was a complete shit show at my previous job. We had to run and actually made it in there 1 minute before Casey got in there. And I am so forever grateful for my best friend, Ruby. If you're listening to this, thank you. Thanks a lot. It was a shit show, guys. And I'm so happy that I got there in time. But that's enough of me talking. I'm just gonna give Casey the word here. I filmed all of this with an iPhone, so quality-wise, it wasn't the best, but it was just the best that I could do at that point. A lot of the questions that were asked by all the other people who are in this group, well, you cannot hear them, so I'm just filling that in for you guys. Just having a little chat with Casey without him actually being here or stuff. Woo.
Man. What did I walk into? So I haven't slept in a while, been on airplanes for weeks. Man, you guys have some serious hardware.
Yeah.
Yes. God, you so much.
Yeah, that's where he was laughing with my setup. Like I told you, iPhone 10, a Manfrotto Pixie on the bottom, and then a Rode VideoMicro. That's all I got back in the day, but hey, I got all of this audio for you guys to listen to.
So what's up? What do we do back here? We just chit-chat, right?
Yeah,
shoot some questions. I got nothing but answers.
Okay.
So the first question is actually about the Nike Fuel Band video. So if you didn't check that already, go back. It's a really nice video. And in here, he talks a little bit more about what it is to represent an idea in a movie instead of just trying to sell your product. And the question also goes along about how other people now are more replicating that strategy and if it's going to be messed up with everyone trying to sell crap on the internet or if it's a good thing or not. So yeah, I'm just going to give Casey the talk here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's new anymore. And I think that this idea of making, you know, integrity-based content that's branded was so new 5 years ago. And I use examples like, you know, Dove soap now makes branded content that affects you. And I think that it will find its own path to a point where it actually makes sense and it's less kind of experimental than what we see right now. But I think the biggest learning from that was that if you sell an idea, people will buy the product. But selling an idea is something that never existed before. You always sold the product. Here's our car, here's how many horsepower it has, here's what it does, buy this car. And now it's about selling a message, selling something behind that. I think Apple has done this better than anybody else. Like Apple's TV commercials, Apple's advertising, they never talk about their products. They talk about how their products make you feel, what their products let you do. They don't talk about the product. And I think that Nike video was like, the reason why Nike liked it is it didn't have the Fuel Band in it. I wasn't even wearing it on that trip. But it was this idea of just sort of saying, fuck it, and going for it, living life. That idea was so close to what they were trying to do with their product that it was a really natural marriage. It was a really effective marriage. They stopped making the Fuel Band 3 years, but people are still trying to buy it because of the way that movie makes them feel. And I think that that was the biggest learning. And I think that when I work with brands now, I either say yes if I think I can share an idea, or I say no if I believe that the brand really only wants me to sell a product. Even the work that I do with Samsung, it's never about the product. The product's not even in it usually. It's about this idea, what this can enable, what you can do with it. And I think that like all of our bullshit detectors are so refined that when you see a commercial, an advertisement, a video, it's just trying to shill a product, buy this. We're numb to it. It doesn't affect us at all. And I think that was a big learning for me from that Nike video.
I really get what he is saying, even for myself. Now, I've done a few brand deals on the channel, but like I already told you, and like I always mention in videos about this, is I would never do a brand deal that doesn't align with my brand and who doesn't share the same values that I have about what it is to be a creator or about what the product is that they're trying to sell. And also like a customer, I think that's what it's about. When you really, really want something, if you want a new iPhone, you want a new drone, it's not just about a piece of tech that's in your hands. It's about what you imagine yourself to do with that tech. It's all the visuals that you're going to capture with that drone. It's all about the stuff that's in your mind, the idea behind what that product will be for you. So personally, when I think of this, I think of a company, Cape Clasp. If you want to search that on Instagram, it's at Cape Clasp. And they just sell marine life inspired accessories, like bracelets and hangers and stuff like that. But it's just the way that they built their company and the way that they share their stuff is just, for me personally, as a marine biologist, I am completely swept away by their products. And they give 15% back of the revenue and they push that to non-governmental organizations. Everything is linked together. They use sustainable products. For me, that's like a no-brainer. I want to support businesses like this. And I'm sure that if you think about what's your favorite product at the moment, that you really align with the feeling that this product gives you. And I think that was what Casey was talking about here. So then the question goes a little bit more into, like, here in Belgium, we don't have the big Apples. We don't have the big Googles of this world. And how you deal with that, also when you're starting out, how do you deal with that with working with a smaller budget?
Yeah, the budget for that Nike video was nothing. It was tiny. I look at companies, like in the States, there's a company that was just sold for a few billion. Maybe it was $1 billion. It was a company called Dollar Shave Club. And you know what I'm talking about? $4 billion. And they made that first advertisement, which went insane. You remember the one I'm talking about? It went outrageously viral because it made people feel. How did it make me feel? I was like, I don't even know what the fuck they're selling, but I like this so much, sign me up. Like, here's my dollar a month. Like, I fell in love with the idea. And all they're selling me is a stupid razor. Like, there's nothing inspiring about a razor. It's the least interesting thing there is. But that video touched me and so many people so much that it was that video that skyrocketed them to the center stage, and then they're great business operators, but a $4 billion company is what was on the other side of that. So I think that like the opportunity to use not enough budget, not enough resources, and not enough exposure as your excuse for not making something that's effective, that excuse is bullshit now. It's out the window. Individuals are able to make things that reach millions and millions of people. You've got the internet, this egalitarian global distribution platform, and then you've got a cell phone right there that shoots 4K video. Like,
yeah, he's pointing at my phone.
The excuse of not having the budget or the opportunity, it doesn't exist anymore. It really doesn't exist, and we've seen time and time again examples of the sorts of obstructions that you're speaking of being overcome and wild success on the other side.
Yeah, well, there's not much I can add to this. I mean, you heard me. I was filming this with an iPhone. Who was filming? I think this was set on 1080p. for some reason. So it wasn't even 4K, but I was filming this with a crap setup, and that's what I always tell you guys to do. Whatever gear you're having, whatever you have at the moment, just use that, and then just work yourself up until you can buy a better piece of kit, until you get where you want. You just have to climb the ladder to pay your dues and just work yourself up until you get there. Then this shifts a little bit into question of some guy who owns also a creative company, and he's telling Casey, like, hey, I want to do this amazing work. I want to do these crazy idea videos, but my clients, they're pretty conservative and they don't get me. And maybe if we can do 50% of the work we want to do, that's when we're happy. And I guess that's a lot of people here in Belgium as well. Like, I myself had this as well on multiple occasions. And that's mostly when I tell the guys, like, hey, this is not the way I want to work. But anyway, here's Casey's idea.
I do. Because what you're talking about, the sort of creativity by committee, is so antithetical, the opposite of how individual creators like myself work. But I also empathize with companies. If you're working with Gillette, a big company, they're very worried about their brand, and they're right to be. I think we've seen, like, individual creators, YouTubers, screw over companies so many times. They're right to be skeptical.
Yeah.
And that's what you're up against. And in the States, there's big enough budgets where the money Nike gave me to make that video was less than what they'd spend on food for a typical 30-second commercial. It's less than they'd spend on rental cars for a 30-second commercial. So if it didn't work, they'd just sort of sweep it under the rug. But here the markets are smaller and they're different. And I think, like, a really practical way of approaching it is that, like, in any capacity in life, change, progress will only ever happen incrementally. So if it's a brand, if it's a Canon cameras, and their brand has only ever done 30-second spots that go through an agency, they're headed 6 minutes from Sunday, there's a million filters and a million people saying yes or no before it sees the world, that company is not going to tomorrow turn over that entire budget to make viral videos. There's no way. But maybe they'll turn over 10% of that budget. Well, what can you do with 10% of that budget? You're talking about resources. What you can do now is almost limitless. And I think that's where the opportunity to turn to individuals like the creator community can go really far. You know, $10,000 inside of an agency doesn't get you very far. But if you pick three or four of the biggest creators you've got here in this country that make work that inspire you, and you go to them, $10,000 is a tremendous amount of money for a creator. And you say, what can we do? You might fail the first 5 times, and then just don't ever tell Canon about that $10,000. You tell them you spent it on dinner. But on the 5th time, you'll find success. And that is how you start to penetrate. That's how it happened in the States. It was never over.
You need to be patient.
And that's what it was. I pitched this idea to everyone. It wasn't until Nike said, okay. And then it wasn't until that video exploded. When Nike saw that movie, they were still skeptical. You don't know what this is. They wanted me to do it just in case it didn't work out. They'd be like, that was Casey's thing. They were skeptical. And now in the States, this is how almost every major brand wants to do their business. They're chasing down creators. So I think there's a tipping point where we're all fall. But in the meantime, I respect the concerns of brands. I respect their skepticism. I'm not somebody who thinks that their wimps are too conservative. I respect it. I understand. I know what it means for a big agency to have a big client and not want to jeopardize that. So I think progress is slow and incremental. It's never a changing everything.
Now, to give my 2 cents on this, it's been a while since I recorded this, and times have already changed, and I think companies are more and more getting the idea of what they should be doing, and let creators be creators and do their stuff, because that's how you can do the best work. Well, for most creators, not everyone is the same. But I also think that it just comes down to conversation, getting into a conversation with your client and talk about the stuff that makes them think that doesn't work here. It's your job to try to make them understand why you're doing this, not trying to persuade them because you just know everything. And I guess that's the first step. And mostly in the cases that I have been, people just get along with that once they understand what you're trying to do. And that's a big major step. So in the next section, Casey is talking about how to grab the attention of your viewer and how to make sure that they stay there and they want to watch it and they want to buy the product that you're delivering. So yeah, it's just a great piece of content right here.
80s, like what the Mad Men era, like they had absolute control over how anything was seen. It's gonna be on a magazine, it's gonna be on a billboard, it's gonna be on TV. We got them. And now, like, you know, Coca-Cola is competing with every 12-year-old that has an internet connection on planet Earth. And when my kid was, he's 20 now, when I went watching him, he was 15. He'd watch a YouTube video, he'd click play. If there was a 5-second pre-roll, he would do shift T, and he'd be on a new tab, he'd be scrolling through Facebook like this. 4.5 seconds later, shift one, back open, skip play. His bullshit detector was so refined that that agency-produced commercial was invisible to him. Bullshit detector, red light went off, boom, 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 out, and then back in, so he never had to be exposed to that advertising. And he was a kid, he was not doing delivery. And like, that's what you're up against. You know, so what can you do to like, not only not have the kid skip the 5-second pre-roll, but have him choose to click on it. Have her want to see that. Have her share that. Have that be her favorite video. And then have kids come up to me all day. I still do have kids come up to me saying that Nike make it probably change their life. It wasn't my goal. I made it because it just seemed like a fun thing to do. But that's a video that affected people. It's a fucking commercial to sell electronic bracelets that cost $200. And I think like that, doing that is very hard. But the impact of that is sort of, I think it's hard to negate. And I think like that is the shift that brands and agencies all need to slowly adapt. Because 10 years from now, I think all content distribution is going to be so wildly decentralized. There's no longer flying a block of 30-second spots and knowing you're going to reach 4 million people. It's fighting for attention. And the only way to get someone's attention is to serve them something they want to see. Because we no longer have to see anything.
Yeah, well, it's going to get harder. And it's going to get harder. So, we better start kicking our asses off and trying to come up with meaningful content that actually people want to see and eventually is also tailored for your target audience. I guess that's the point what he's making here. And then the next question is from Jill Peters, who is, yes, really Dutch. She is an amazing woman and an amazing person. She's talking about climate change here and she was sitting next to me so that one was recorded fully. So here it is.
Hi, I'm a weather presenter here in Belgium. I created an organization with, at this moment, 110 weather presenters from all over the world. We have a reach of 375 million viewers, followers a day. And our message is to do something about the disrupted climate. But it's not a sexy message, but the message is clear, and it's something we should all do something about. Do you think that the focus of my organization is now working with trusted weather presenters to bring out this message to all the citizens all over the world? Do you think that might be a good focus of the organization to work through trusted weather presenters, popular weather presenters? Or do you think with all the things changing around us that isn't a good focus? Maybe you should think of other things to work with?
I don't know, but just hearing that pitch, like that is the kind of thinking. It seems very smart, like when you talk about big organizations, how do you leverage what it is you do to connect with people and who's interested in climate change? People who probably watch TV and learn about the weather and learn about the environment, the meteorologists there. Like, to me, that makes a lot of sense. And I think ultimately to be successful, you have to tell people something that they're willing to hear. Mm-hmm. And everybody likes to watch a fun video like that one, but I've also made videos about, you know, about the famine taking place in East Africa and about what's happening in Somalia. And I've made videos about mass shootings before, raising money for people who are struggling with disease or whatever it may be. And for whatever reason, people are also willing to engage with that. They're willing to watch that 2 million times.
So the messenger is important too. It's not only the message, it's also the messenger.
I think it's the messaging.
The messaging. Okay.
So I think the person who's delivering it is obviously very important. But how is it communicated that works? You know, like, I think of all the documentaries I've ever seen about climate change, why is it that An Inconvenient Truth won the Oscar? What was it about that movie? Al Gore is not that interesting. But there was something about that movie that changed the way that I as an adult, thought about climate change. They figured out how to deliver that message in a completely new way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the message is important, but it's about how that's being shared.
Okay.
So again, it's a total enigma, but it goes back to sort of the premise of my talk today, which is like, there's no defined path from what you describe your ambition is. So on top of figuring it out, you also have to define that path. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're off to a very interesting start, though. I think that's a really, really,
yeah,
really smart.
I'm not supported by the UN, so.
Mazel tov. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah.
You know, it is actually something that I've been thinking a lot about. How do we get people to care about the environment in a fun and meaningful way? And I know we can talk about this, but the real problem is, if it doesn't make anything easier for the person, if it doesn't make anything more convenient, people are not going to change that much. So this is something I've been thinking a lot about and are going to think about a lot in the future. I just hope that every brand from now on and every creator here is more thinking about how we can impact nature, how we can impact the environment in a positive way. And if that's the only thing that you keep out of this, I just hope that you do just get that responsibility going, get a little bit more sustainable. Okay, next question. So the question is about daily vlogging and if that is building his influence that he has on YouTube, that he has on the platforms, or it's the influence that is keeping him to do the daily vlogging.
I mean, for me personally, there's no better way to keep my knives really sharp than to use them every single day. I mean, the videos that I post on a daily are about including production and post-production. They're about 30 hours worth of work, and I release one every 24 hours. So there's a couple of us working on it, that's how we're able to do it. But it is like, I don't have time to answer the phone. I don't have time to do it, like it is just getting it done. But mostly I don't have time to think. And that's my favorite environment to work in. It's pure instinct. And when it's pure instinct, that means it's honest, it's integrity, it's truthful, because I don't have time to bullshit. And that's my favorite environment to work in. So you're willing to sort of, I'm willing to let go of the lack of sleep and the dropping everything off. I don't do meetings, I won't take phone calls, I don't want to hang out with my friends, I don't socialize, I don't drink, I don't party. I don't go out to dinner, I don't meet people for drinks after work, I don't have a beer, I don't do any of that. I work, I'm with my family, that is it. I'm not interested in any, I have no friends. I spend no time with my friends. It is work and it is family, but I love doing it. Your question was, is that what's required for success? And the answer is no. It's not required, but it is a really effective means of maintaining a relationship with an audience. When you're the messenger every day, they're subscribing to me personally. So when I'm talking about fun things like running around the world, or Dan and I breaking a pancake machine this morning at the hotel, they're there to smile with that. But then when I want to talk about famine in East Africa, they're also there for that. And if you don't have that kind of cadence, if we're not having a conversation every day, it feels very strange for me to come up to you once a month and say, hey, I want to talk to you about starving people on the other side of the world. But if we talk every day, it's like, what's up today, Casey? Well, I want to talk to you about starving people. It makes sense. So there is no greater sort of influence or power than having the opportunity to speak to someone for. My videos are 10 minutes long, my daily videos, and I have an average engagement of 87%. So 8.5 minutes of 2 million people's attention every single day is a kind of influence that is certainly foreign to me. It fucking terrifies me. I'm so nervous of screwing up because that's such a responsibility. But it is that I'm building a business on and everything else, and I think daily perpetuates that instead of letting that fade.
I actually want to try it out to do a daily, but I just take too much time editing the videos and making sure they're perfect to get to you, that it's taking me at least like 2, 3, 4 days sometimes to release them. Maybe I should do this on Instagram. So guys, if you made it to this point, go to Instagram, go to Tom's Odyssey, hit me up in a DM and tell me what you think about if I should do a daily vlog on Instagram or not. Maybe just do a challenge, like a 7-day or a 2-week challenge of daily vlogs on Instagram. Could be nice to put them on Instagram TV. It could actually work. So guys, let me know in the DMs what you think. And then the last question is more about what platform should you be spending your time on? What type of medium should you create your content for?
Look, I think that like you have to be platform agnostic to succeed. Like, it may feel like the whole world's on any given platform. They're not. They're everywhere. So, you know, I think podcasting is really blown up in the last handful of years. It's been around for 12 years, 15 years. The last couple of years, we've seen it explode. I think it's another way to engage. I think live streaming is finding its time in the sun right now. It's really, really taking off. David has a much younger audience, so what he's able to engage with on Instagram stories and Snapchat is tremendous. But no, I think that anyone who's found success, who's figured out how to make a living in the new media space, is smart enough to recognize where their audience is. And if you're ignoring the fact that your audience is over there because you're over here, then that's just, you know, that's an unnecessary misstep.
And that's when Casey had to leave, and we only got time for a few more selfies because, well, that's mandatory when you are meeting the vlog god of YouTube. But anyway, he's right, you know, with this ever-changing landscape of social media, new platforms arising, old platforms going down, like Instagram is now it's at its peak, I think, and it's getting so much harder to get the reach for that content. So where are you hanging out? Where's your audience hanging out? Which platforms are you using and they using? So if you're using the Anchor app, you can always leave a voice message there, or you can just hit me up on Instagram. That's the easiest, I think that's the easiest way to reach me. But other than that, guys, I guess we made it to the end of this episode. A lot of information here. If you need to just review this clip over and over again, it took me a few times to really get and grasp what Casey was talking about. Anyway, it was a really, really awesome experience to be there and have some time to chat up with him. And I would do it again anytime soon. But that's probably not going to happen anymore. So I guess until then, I will be seeing you in a new episode. And always remember, it's not about the gear you're using, but it's all about the creativity. Booyah.
You're never looking back again. I can get it, I can make it, yeah, I know it. And I'm never looking back again.